Nahum chapter 1. What are we to make of Nahum? This is a prophecy against Nineveh. And 150 years or so before the time of Nahum, Jonah had gone and told Nineveh in similar language, you are going to be destroyed, but they had repented. And Jonah had acted pretty badly. As we remember, he was supposed to go there and preach them, and he said, no, I don't want Gentiles repenting. I'm not going to go there. Tries to run away, gets caught up in the storm, swallowed by the great fish. He basically dies and has a resurrection. The fish spits him out after 3 days and three nights on the beach, and he does eventually go back to Nineveh, tells them, you're going to be destroyed, you're sinners, but they repent. And it's very unusual that they should just repent because some guy rocks up and says, hey, you're going to be destroyed. I think he must have told them his personal experience. And it was that experience of grace which led them to repent. But then he's bitter and cranky. I mean, the story ends with him sitting outside the city wanting to die because he's so upset that they've actually repented. He really was pretty cranky. But then you ask yourself the question, and who wrote the book of Jonah? Well, I guess it was Jonah. And I guess he wrote it under divine inspiration in repentance. Basically, it could be subtitled, you know, The Repentance of a Redneck. I mean, that's what the book is, and it's inspired by God. But who wrote it? It's Jonah. And I think he's saying, look, what a crank I was. How I did not get God's grace. But, well, what happened to Jonah then? This is the question. And you might say, well, we don't know. Well, piecing a few things together, I think you do. Nineveh is Mosul, and the tomb of Jonah is there in Mosul, or Nineveh as it was. So he stayed there. He didn't sort of turn around at the end of Jonah chapter 4 and say, well, I'm going back to the good old Israel. Bad news that you lot repented, but now, okay, I'll be going back to Israel. No, he stayed there. And who was Nahum? Well, you can say that he was a convert, I would say, of Jonah. That Jonah founded a community then of believers, because the men of Nineveh who repented are going to be in the kingdom of God. Jesus tells us that. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment against the generation of his day. They repented and will be in God's kingdom at the last day. We're told that. So they therefore became part of the people of God. And Jonah, the repentant, one-time, grumpy, bitter, redneck prophet who repented, would have, as it were, been the pastor of the people whom he'd converted. We're told in Nahum 1, verse 1, that this is the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. So he was from Elkosh. Well, archaeologists and similar folks have searched in vain for any location called Elkosh in Palestine. But there is a village called Elkosh near Nineveh. If you read Layard, Nineveh and its Remains, he really is very persuasive about this, that this village has been located near Mosul, what was then Nineveh. So, Nahum then was a believer in Yahweh, and yet he was from Elkosh, he was from Nineveh. And he writes here as if he knows Nineveh very well. And sure, God could have beamed that into him by inspiration, but it is God's way, I think, to work through the human element in this kind of thing. So I suggest in my little reconstruction of all this that Nahum was part of the community that were founded by Jonah, this very reluctant preacher. So he now tells Nineveh that they're going to be destroyed, and he does so absolutely in the language of the book of Jonah. I'll give you some examples. Jonah 1 verse 3. He says, chapter 1 verse 3, God is slow to anger. That's a quotation from Jonah 4 verse 2, that God is slow to anger, and that's why he saved Nineveh. Then he says, verse 6 of chapter 1, who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? Well, it was the king of Nineveh who said, maybe God will turn away from the fierceness of his anger. Jonah 3:9. This is exactly the same phrase. And actually, when we read that the king of Nineveh arose and repented, arose from his throne and dressed himself in sackcloth, Jonah 3 verse 6 is the same word as who can abide, who can stand, who can rise up in the fierceness of his anger. Well, the answer to that question, who can stand up in the fierceness of God's anger and turn it away, well, was the king of Assyria. That is what the king of Nineveh had done. The king of Nineveh was effectively the king of Assyria. He had arisen and said, let us repent and humble ourselves because God may turn away the fierceness of his anger. Chapter 2, verse 1 of Nahum, he says, the wickedness of Nineveh has come up before God's face. That's exactly what God says about Nineveh in Jonah 1, verse 2, that their wickedness had come up before him. God was against Nineveh, Nahum 2, verse 13. Exactly what is said about God in Jonah 1, verse 2. He was going to judge Nineveh for their wickedness, Nahum 3, 19. That's exactly twice what we read about Nineveh in Jonah, that they were wicked and they had to repent, the king said, of our wickedness. So, quite clearly, Nahum is hoping that the people are going to repent as they did with Jonah, but they didn't. But the point is that he saw the historical sort of parallels there. Now, it also is apparent, as I say, that the people of Nahum's day knew the story of Jonah extremely well. People who live in Mosul today know the story of Jonah, and they would have known it very well back then, especially the community that Nahum came from, those people of Nineveh who had turned to Yahweh and who, Jesus says, will be in God's kingdom. Well, let's go back again to Nahum chapter 1 and notice the little phrases he uses which allude to Jonah personally. Verse 3, God has his way in the storm. Well, that's Jonah, isn't it? God had his way in that storm. Nahum 1 verse 4, God rebukes the sea. Wow, that's the story of Jonah, isn't it? God rebuked the storm and it stopped. Nahum 1 verse 5, who can stand before God? Well, Jonah, we're told, stood up. That's the same word used from his hiding place in the ship and recognized that I cannot flee from God's presence. The Lord, Nahum 1 verse 7, is a stronghold in the day of trouble. Jonah in his psalm says, I cried to God in the day of my trouble. Same phrase. Nineveh's warned, Nahum 1 verse 8, an overrunning flood is going to overtake Nineveh. It's exactly what Jonah says, same word in his psalm, the floods passed over, they overran me, but God saved me out of it. Affliction is coming upon Nineveh, Nahum 1 verse 9. Affliction, the same word, came upon Jonah. So, again, what he's saying is, what Nahum is saying is, look at Jonah. He was a sinner, and yet he repented and God changed and saved him. We, as in Nineveh, we repented 150 years ago and God saved us. So that is my reconstruction of what's going on here. But let's just stop and pause and take a lesson from Jonah. Because we look at people who are self-righteous, particularly redneck, right-wing, conservative types who are very judgmental, just as Jonah was, and you tend to think they will never change. They can't change. It's just how they are. It's how they're wired. That's how Jonah was wired. But you see, he changed. His experience of grace changed him, but it didn't change him immediately. It's not as if somebody goes through an experience like Jonah did with dying basically and being saved by absolute grace from a certain death, going inside a big fish and then being spat out and saved, etc. It's not that people go through that and then, oh, immediately they change. Maybe some people do, but the change normally requires a period of time. Because in Jonah's case, despite going through all that, he still goes to Nineveh, preaches, and when they repent, he goes outside the city and sulks and says, I want to die. And that is how the story ends. But as I say, I think that book of Jonah, though it's inspired by God, is Jonah's repentance. No wonder, actually, the people of Nineveh repented when they saw how he repented, how he was being absolutely brutally honest about his feelings that, yeah, I didn't want you guys. I didn't want you to repent. I was angry with God. I was angry with you. And I did not want you to be saved. How wrong I was. Because as you read the book of Jonah, you don't get a nice impression of Jonah. You sort of don't like the guy as you read the book. And then you realize this is him telling us about himself. And it was that honesty, repented of. You repented of all this. It was that which inspired them to repent. And it was that which led to a formation of a group of believers there in Nineveh itself. And I suggest that Nahum the Elkoshite, the man from Elkosh, the village just outside Mosul, the village just outside Nineveh, that he was one of that community. And absolutely inspired by Jonah, he is appealing to Nineveh, absolutely at 11:59, at the last moment, that they also might repent.